and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God, who appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household, and to all that were with him, Put away the foreign gods that are among you, and purify yourselves, and change your garments, and let us arise, and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the foreign gods which were in their hands, and the rings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and a terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan. The same is Bethel, he and all the people that were with him. And he built there an altar, and called the place El Bethel, because there God was revealed unto him, when he fled from the face of his brother. And Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried below Bethel, under the oak. And the name of it was called Alon Bakuth. And God appeared unto Jacob again when he came from Paddan Aram and blessed him. And God said unto him, Thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave unto Abraham and Isaac, to thee I will give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. And God went up from him in the place where he spake with him. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he spake with him, a pillar of stone. And he poured out a drink offering thereon, and poured oil thereon. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him, Bethel. Let us speak to the Lord again in prayer. Our Father, we are glad that thou dost journey with us through life, though oft times we do not see thy presence. Father, we would have thee to walk with us. So often we walk ahead of thee, at a distance from thee, but thou dost still follow us, and keep thine eye upon us. We are so glad of this. And we thank you for the portion that we have read this night, the way that, though Jacob departed far from thee for so many years, still thou didst go with him, and at the appropriate moment, thou didst speak to him. We pray, Father, that it shall be so in our lives. Thou dost know that the speaking of men is one thing, but the speaking of men empowered by the Holy Spirit, putting those words in our hearts, this is another thing, and that is what we pray, that the words shall be received not as the words of men, but as they are in truth, the word of God, which worketh in the hearts of them that believe. And so prepare thy children this night to be fed from thy word, and cleanse us from our sins and impurities, and let us speak as the oracles of God, and feed us good food, and make us strong in the faith. Bless us to this end, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. Chapter 35 starts out this way. And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God who appeared unto thee when you fled from the face of Esau, thy brother. Now God had spoken to Jacob years before, had told him to do this very thing, But now, and grasp this, 30 years have transpired since Jacob made a promise to God. He vowed that if the Lord would go with him and keep him and provide his needs, he would come back to Bethel and he would build God an altar there. And now 30 years have gone by and Jacob has never done it. Now let me ask you this. Have you ever made God any promises? Told him you were going to do certain things? And then somehow, year after year has gone by, and these promises that you made God, they've either been forgotten or somehow they're in the back of your mind. Well, you may have forgotten them, and you may have put them in the back of your mind, but God has not forgotten them, and they're always at the front of his mind. What interests God is not you and your sin, but the promises that you make him that you're going to do better and glorify his name. Do you think God forgets such promises? He never forgets them. And what he does is this. He lets you go seemingly unattended for so many years, and yet he's in the background watching over you, protecting you from complete destruction, as in the case of Jacob. But finally, after so many years, God says, now I'm asking you again, go to Bethel and fulfill the promises that you made. And this time, Jacob listens. Why? Well, let me ask you this. Suppose you had a loving child, 14 years old, and because you had not obeyed God, and instead of going to Bethel, you had set up your dwelling place just before Shechem and had lived there, and your daughter had been violated, and then your sons had turned out to be murderers and pillagers. Then, after all of those promises that you made to God and you did not keep, and you realized that they never would have happened had you gone to Bethel, these bad things, if you had gone to Bethel and kept those promises, they would not have happened. Then, if God, under those circumstances, speaks to you, do you think you will listen? You say, I think I would. If I had an only daughter that is named Dinah, and she has been violated, and my sons that I want to be men of God, and they turn out to be murderers, and then God says, now, Jacob, are you ready to go to Bethel? I think that as Jacob went, I would be ready to go. Well, this is why the Lord has given us the Old Testament. He has given us these scriptures so that we might not have to suffer the pains from the experiences that these Old Testament saints endured. He wants you, when you make him a promise, to keep that promise. And what happens is this. He does not of necessity bring these things into our lives, but what he does is to let the natural course of nature take place, and all these things occur. If God did not place his hedge about us and keep us in his hand, Satan would destroy us immediately. But then, when we refuse to let God surround us, at times he lets us get outside that hedge, and then he does not do things to us. There is a Satan who is waiting to do things to us, and there are enemies who are waiting to do things to us. And God says, all right, I told you what I wanted you to do. You would not do it. Well then, we'll see what happens when you control your own life. You want to go to Shechem? Go to Shechem. I told you to go to Bethel. You were building your house just before Shechem. You're letting your daughter go out to see the daughters of the land. Well, go ahead and do that. And so God allows us at times to take our time in fulfilling the promises that we made to him. And then he lets one blow after another blow fall upon us. And then finally we come to our senses and say, oh God, what have I done in waiting so long to fulfill my promises? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And we think that we can make God promises, and he forgets those promises, but God never forgets them. And it says, God is not mocked, for whatsoever we sow, we're going to reap. And if we sow to the flesh, we shall of the flesh reap corruption. And this is what Jacob reaped. He sowed to the flesh, and of the flesh he reaped corruption. He reaped it in his daughter, and he reaped it in his sons, and he reaped it in his own soul, because he was getting farther and farther away from God. After so many approaches God had made toward him, after so many speakings to Jacob, after so many revelations of angels to Jacob, Jacob does not come to his senses until finally this crisis arises. And then finally, when it does arise, then God speaks, and Jacob is ready to listen. Now, I tell you this so that you, as a Christian, will not have to experience something like that which Jacob experienced with his family before you do what you know God would have you to do. Because do not think that God has forgotten it. Do not think that you can sow to the flesh and of the flesh reap spiritual things. If of the flesh you sow, you shall reap corruption. Jacob, one of the chosen people of God, could not escape this inviolable law of Scripture, this spiritual law, as well as mathematical and laws of nature. There was a spiritual law as well, and Jacob found out to his sorrow that he could not escape it, and neither can any child of God. And so, make God promises, know what you should do, and then take your time in fulfilling those promises, and then God will let certain courses of nature take their place, and then bitter sorrow like this shall come into your life. But now, this time, when God spoke, look at the difference in the man. Listen to him. God says, arise, go to Bethel and build that altar like you said you were going to do. Verse 2. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the foreign gods that are among you. Purify yourselves and change your garments, and let us arise and go to Bethel, and I will make an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress. Now, he should have said that years and years ago, but he didn't have the courage years ago, because Jacob, up until now, has been a controlled man. Are you a controlled man? When he was home, before he left to go to Paddan Aram, his mother controlled him. His mother said to him, your father is about ready to give the blessing to your brother Esau. Do what I say. And Jacob said, but what if this happens? His mother said, listen to me. Do what I tell you. And so Jacob was controlled by his mother. And then Jacob's brother was out to destroy him, and Jacob flees from his brother. He is controlled by fear. And then finally he comes to Laban, his uncle, and then his uncle controls his life. And then he marries Rachel, and you'll find out that his wife controls his life. She tells him when he sleeps with her and when he sleeps with her sister Leah. Her sister had some mandrakes, and she said, I want those mandrakes. And Leah said, you're not going to get these mandrakes. She said, I'll let Jacob come and sleep with you tonight if you'll give me those mandrakes. And so as soon as Jacob comes in from the field, his wife says to him, tonight you're to go and sleep with my sister Leah. Now, isn't that embarrassing? Think of that. His whole life has been controlled by others, and he is the patriarch. Understand, he is the third in succession. There is Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He is this father in Israel, this mighty patriarch, and his whole life has been controlled by others until now. And finally, Jacob puts his foot down and he says, this is what is going to be done. And I'm wondering if that time has ever come in your life, or if you are a person who is controlled by another. Do you realize that the husband is the head of the wife? The wife doesn't control the husband. The husband is the one who brings up his children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Not the children control the father. But then again, when Jacob wanted his sons to do this and that, They said, we have no intention of doing what you want us to do. We're going to wreak vengeance on this man who has violated our sister. And so he had no control. But suddenly, when a man is spoken to by God, and he determines by the grace of God and with the strength of God to do what he says, a marvelous power and authority comes over the man, and all of those people that had controlled you in the past suddenly become obedient to you. And that is a promise that I'll make to you. As a father, as a husband, as one who is in a world of sin that is controlling you, if God speaks to you and you say, I must obey God rather than man, if you step out in the strength of God, you'll find that the world will become afraid of you, and the world will do what you want them to do, whereas all along you have been doing what the world and everybody else has wanted you to do, because you have been cowardly and you have never put your foot down and said, this is the way things are going to be. One of the qualifications in both Timothy and Titus for a man to be an elder is to rule his household well, to have his children in authority. And poor Jacob could never have passed the qualifications of an elder because he was ruled by his household, by his wife and by his children, by his mother. He had been ruled his whole life long by others. But now he is the one who is to rule. And God said, now I want you to do it. And so finally Jacob said, I am going to do it. And now suddenly his children fall in line and his wives fall in line and all of the people that are following him fall in line and they do the things that he had been tolerating for years. You see, he knew that there were gods, false gods among his people. Do you know things that are going on among your children? Do you? People that are associated with you, things that they should not do, and you've never spoken out against it? Who is the one that is the guiltiest that we know about? Why, his wife, Rachel. She is the one who, when she left home, stole her father's images, these false gods, and she brought them with her. And while she's married to one who worships the one true God, she has her own little gods. And she can pray to them in secret. She can bow down to these false gods. And Jacob knows this is going on because God didn't mention anything about the false gods. But Jacob goes and he says, put away the foreign gods that are among you. He knows what's going on, but he never had the courage to do anything about it. And so all our lives, we see our children, our wives, those that are in our household doing certain things that are objectionable and that are against the commandments of God, and we've tolerated these things, and we've been grieved by it, but either we haven't had the courage to say anything about it, or else we didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. After all, she comes from an idolatrous family, and well, she's just taken up with these things. But you will see that when God told him what to do, if in the authority of God's name he does it, everything falls into place. That's the strength. If you find that God said it, you are able to do it. I'm unafraid to teach anything that's in the Word of God if I know it's exactly what God said. If it's a surmise or an opinion or a speculation, I would be scared to death to tell you this thing. But if it's thus saith the Lord, I'm unafraid because I speak with the authority of God. When the Savior said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, then I'm not afraid to tell any man that he's a sinner and he must be born again. Why? Because the Savior said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go, therefore. I have been commissioned by God to preach the things that he has told me. And so in like manner, when God said to Jacob, I want you to do this, in the strength and power of God, he went forth, and everybody does what he says. But now think of the outcry. All of you who have families, I just want you to know, think. Suppose you have had families and they've been permitted to do things that aren't in harmony with God's word, and you apply this to your heart. You know your children, your wife, your relatives, your friends, your household. You know things that are going on, and you tolerated these things. You know what's happening. Well, in like manner, Jacob does as well. And they've been going on for years. And suddenly, not gradually, but suddenly you say, no more. It's ending now. What kind of outcry do you think is going to take place from that wife that's been telling you what to do? From those children, from those relatives, from all of those people that are around you doing things that have grieved you. An outcry is going to come up. It makes no difference. God told Jacob what to do, and Jacob said, I've waited 30 years, and now I'm going to do it. Do you know how old the man is now? He's 107 years old. And so don't you think it's about time he did what God told him to do? And I think it's about time that you and I did it as well, because I don't know if I'm going to live to be 107 years old. God gave him this length of life. And finally, he came to his senses and he did it. And we can rejoice that finally he did get around to doing it. But he looks back over 30 years of misery. 30 years of knowing what should be done, but not doing it. Now, if we did not know, it's one thing. It's like the Apostle Paul. He said, I persecuted the church. I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. But Jacob has known what he promised God since Genesis 28. And God has been revealing himself to him, telling him what he should do, showing him where he should go. And Jacob is so slow in doing the will of God. And in all of those years, he has experienced one bitter experience after another. Until finally, this blow of the violation of his daughter and his sons turn out to be murderous thieves. And then God says, now are you going to do what I've told you to do? And Jacob says, yes. And so it doesn't matter what the outcry is. What had you preferred to happen? For your family and loved ones to do what they want to do, and you don't make any waves. You keep peace. You let everything go along smoothly because you don't want any trouble. Or are you prepared to say, this is what God says is to be done, and it's going to be done. It doesn't matter how loudly they cry. Get rid of those gods. You're not keeping them anymore. Pull those earrings out of your ears. You're not going to wear them in my presence to think that I am the God of Abraham, the follower of the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And here in my presence, idols are being worshipped and superstitious amulets are being worn in your ears. Get rid of those things. I'm not going to tolerate it anymore. And if we will take that stand, then our lives will change. And Jacob's life is a change for the better after this experience. Now, this is what he says. So often, I'm afraid that I look at the lives of others and I say, they're not going to do what the Bible says. And so, I'm going to do it and let them go their own way. At times, you have to do that. But at times, you have to work as one that is over a household. And this is what Jacob had to do because he was the heir. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And then you have his sons, the 12 tribes of Israel. He had to take this stand. And so Jacob said, I am going to do this. I do not care what the consequences are. And so he takes his stand and he does not say, well, Lord, I will do it. But I can't give an account for the rest. He does give an account for the rest. Look, when God told him to do it, he says in verse 2, he says unto his household and to all that were with him, praise God for the man. At last he has strength and he has determination to do what God says. He says, all of you are going to act. It's not going to be me alone. All of you are going to act. And he tells them to do three things. He says, put away the foreign gods that are among you. Purify yourselves and change your garments and let us arise and go to Bethel. Three things. First of all, you have to get rid of those gods that you've been worshiping. You realize that his wife Rachel, was willing to leave her father's house and go with him, but she took her idols along on the journey. That's no good. It's not that God tells you to go to another place and make another start, and you take up all the sinful things that you've been indulging in the past, and you take them with you to a new place, and you say, now I'm going to start again. That's no new start. You've just gone to a different place, and you're going to continue the same simple life that you've lived in the past. And so Jacob has had that experience. He left Paddan Aram with his wife, and he finds out that she's brought foreign gods with her. She's been worshiping them. And not only that, but other people along the way, perhaps some of these that he took captive when he smote Shechem with the sword, his sons did. He took all of them. Perhaps they were the ones that brought false gods and wore all of these things, but he tolerated them. But we can't do it. Any persons that are under their our control, they have to do what God says we are to do. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And so it's not Jacob anymore saying, the Lord, I'll do it, but I can't guarantee that others are going to do it. Jacob says, the others are going to do it. And you can get it done as well if you know God has told you to do it, and if you will put your foot down and say, this is what God says is going to be done, and it's going to be done. I don't care how loud you cry, how much you hate me, how much I'm alienated from you. God says, this is to be done, and it's going to be done. When have we ever had that much courage? I've heard so many say, but I will alienate my children, my husband, my wife, my friends. I can't do this. God said, this is what you're to do. And Jacob did it. And he did not alienate them, but he gained their respect. And he preserved them from other bitter experiences that he caused them to experience by not doing the will of God earlier. And so you think that you are doing things now contrary to the word of God, that are going to make things easier, but you're making things harder. And Jacob found it out, and so he said, I'm going to do what God said, no matter what the consequences are. Let me ask you this. Suppose you are like Paul and Silas, and you want to do the will of God, and you see a man of Macedonia saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And you know if you go to Macedonia, you're going to be beaten and cast into prison if you do the will of God. Or you know that you can refuse to do the will of God and you won't be beaten and nobody will hate you, everybody will love you. What would you do? You say, I hope I would go into Macedonia and help them, even though they would beat me and put me in prison. Well, praise God. Jacob would say, I know that they're not going to like my enforcement of these laws, but they're going to be enforced. I know they won't like it. There will be an outcry. They've lived this way for years, but God has told me to do it, and so I'm going to do it. Now, had you rather suffer, as Paul and Silas did, but suffer doing the will of God, or not suffer at all and say, I'm not doing the will of God? Because when you do the will of God, often we suffer. It says, if we suffer, then don't worry about it. If you suffer, then the grace of God is upon you if you are doing His will. And so He tells him to do these three things. And you can appreciate this. Suppose you are contaminated and you are operating on a person, but you discover that you are contaminated. And so you have this person taken into a sterile operating room. But in your contaminated condition, you go into that clean operating room and start operating. You say, that's no good. You have to get a new operating room that is sterile, and you have to become sterile as well. Of course you do. And now Jacob has finally learned it. He leaves one place of sin, but he brings the contamination with him. But now God says, go to Bethel, the house of God, and leave your contamination there in Shechem. I never told you to go to Shechem. And so Jacob says, yes, I will do it. And it's a strange thing. I would have thought of burning it. But it says that Jacob took all of these idols, and he hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. Maybe he hid them in a place that they didn't know anything about. Maybe he couldn't burn them. I don't know. But it says he hid them under an oak, and he hid them so well, we don't find them discovering them anymore. But this is what he did. And so at times, it falls into your hands to take idols and amulets away from people and go and hide them in a place that they can't find them. This is what David, Jacob did. Now notice the three things. He says, get rid of your gods and your amulets, because some people are superstitious. As a little boy, I used to see a rabbit stood on a keychain. You've probably seen them before. And even now, I read in magazines and they say, write to us and send us a contribution and we'll send you this lucky coin. These are the testimonies of people that carry this lucky coin. Well, back in Jacob's days, there were people that were wearing little amulets that were supposed to bring them good luck. And Jacob said, I'm getting rid of all of those things. Any articles of superstition, any idols. First of all, he said, get rid of your foreign gods, your idols. And so that's the first thing. Any false gods that you have, anything comes between you and perfect devotion to your Maker, you have to get rid of that. And then he says, purify yourself. What do you think of a drunkard who puts away his alcohol and you say, he's changed, but the moment he gets out of your sight, he runs down to the ABC store and gets some more. What's missing? You say, well, he's put away his alcohol, but he hasn't purified himself. That's right. You see, he's changed things outwardly, but his heart has remained the same. He remains impure. And as soon as he gets a chance, he's going back, as the Bible says, the dog is returned to his vomit again. And so God said to Jacob, do this. And Jacob said, it's going to be done in three steps. You're going to get rid of the gods outwardly that you've been worshiping, and you're going to purify yourselves. And so this is an inward change. You have to put them out of your mind. You have to renounce them, and you have to purify yourself. And then, here is a physical sign that you've done all of those things. Change your garments. You'll find that a picture of a man who has one past sinful life coming into a new holy life is pictured by taking off old defiled garments and putting on new clean holy garments. And this is what Jacob said they were to do. And so there was to be the removal of the gods, and there was to be the inward purification and change manifested by an outward change of garments. And so what a wonderful day that came in Jacob's life when all of the idols and everything outward had taken place, and as best as he knew how to instruct them, they had purified themselves, and now they put on new clothing. I've seen some of the clothing that the women of the world wear today. Thank God I've seen none here, but I've seen it in some places. I've seen the clothing that the women of the world wear, and you would look at them and say, that can't be of God. And so to show that they had purified themselves inwardly, they would change their garments. But here, it is a change of garments to show an outward conformity to an inward change that has taken place. And so now when all of these things are done, and Jacob has hidden all of those outward marks of foreign gods, it says that they arose and they went to Bethel. Now, think of this. What if you were a villager, and a man with just some teenage sons, and not a large number of people, had come in and killed your friends and your relatives, and now they were going down the road escaping? What would you do? You say, well, I would gather a band of men, and I would take a sword and bows and arrows, and I would go out, and I would destroy them. Well, of course you would. And so God takes care of that as well. When Jacob is obedient unto God, not only do his children and his household and all that are with him take orders from him, but it says there was a terror. And as he journeyed, there was a terror of God upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. This is what Jacob is afraid of. He said, now, he said, I being few in number, the people will gather themselves together against me and smite me, and I shall be destroyed, I and my house. And then God took care of that. Do you realize that God works in the hearts of people? Let me bring this to your attention. God says to his own, he said, three times in a year you are to go up and all the males are to appear before me. And he said, I make you this promise. If you go up to worship me, all of these little ones and your loved ones that you leave behind, I promise that if you go to worship me, it shall not come into the hearts of your enemies to do anything to your wife, your children, and your possessions. I will work upon their hearts, and the desire for your possessions will not come into their hearts. Now, I wonder if I can trust God to do that. There are so many who say, well, a loved one is sick, or my child is this or that. Do you not realize that there is safety in doing the will of God? Not you standing protection. Had you rather stand protection and you be there to take care of a sick person or to do the will of God and let God do the healing? And so this is what Jacob has done. Jacob said, I am going to Bethel. God has told me to. And God said, I will take care of things. And now all of these cities, instead of being angry and able to destroy Jacob as he thought, he said, they will smite me, I am few in number. It said they were scared to death of Jacob. A terror of God had been instilled in their hearts, and Jacob and his family could walk right by them, and they would do nothing. They would get away from Jacob. They would not go out and attack him. And so remember that God can work upon the heart of his children, and God can work upon the heart of the enemies of his children as well. And God gave Jacob safe conduct because he's going to where God told him to go. And now, he comes to Bethel. After 30 years, he built there that altar that he had promised God he was going to build, and he called it El Bethel, that is, the God of Bethel, because there God was revealed unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. And after so long, with all of the problems that Jacob had in his mind that would prevent him from going to Bethel, these things that would cause delays, he said, I'm going to Bethel, I don't care what happens. And all of these troubles vanished. Everything opened up. Doing the will of God was made possible because God affords us success when we do his will. And Jacob found that. And he goes to Bethel, and he does what he promised he would do 30 years before. And God blesses him, and God reaffirms the things that he had said about him at Peniel. But just this, I want to tell you something strange. Look at verse 8. I told you about a man who is 107 years old. It says in verse 8, and Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died. Do you know who Rebekah is? This is Jacob's mother. And Jacob's mother's nurse left with her in Genesis 24, when the servant came and said to her, will you go with this man, with that servant that Abraham sent out? And she said, I will go. And Laban sent along a nurse with his sister, Rebekah, and this is the nurse that was with Rebekah. Now, Rebekah is a certain age, and the nurse could be younger, but this nurse has to be over 107 years old. Here is a nurse that has been with little Jacob since he was born, as long as he stayed in his father's house. And now, somehow, and I've looked and looked, and nobody knows how, but somehow this nurse has gotten into the company of Jacob, and now this nurse dies. What does it mean? It may mean this, and I found this in reading in old genealogical records. I found that some of my ancestors owned slaves, and it was a female slave, and it would say, I leave my female wench, they were called wenches back in those days, I leave this wench, Patty or whatever her name is, I leave her to my son, and upon the death of this person, then that wench went to this son. It's very likely that poor Jacob's mother, Rebekah, had died. And Rebekah wanted this nurse, Deborah, that had been the nursemaid of her son since he was a child. I want you to go and be with my son, Jacob. It may have been that she sent him to tell him to come home, because she said to him, I'm going to send a message to you after a little while and tell you to come home when your brother Esau's anger has gone away. And so somehow Deborah, the nurse of Rebekah, has come to Jacob, and now she dies. And there is sorrow in his heart. Here is an old man, but here is an older woman. And now all of these ties of the past are being broken. And this is something sad. We know people. I used to go to Raleigh, and I would go to see Mrs. Bunch, and I would go to see Mrs. Gould, and they lived 70, 80, 90 years of age. one of the last times I went to see her, I think she was 92 years old, and I talked to her, and then I suddenly heard this woman who lived next door to you, the mother of children that you've known all your life, she's dead now. She's gone, and you won't see her anymore. And there was sadness, a break with the past. And so in like manner, now Deborah has died. This woman that he's known all his life, his nanny, as they say in England. And so there was sorrow in his heart. And Jacob has a place of sorrow, and he calls it Alon Bakuth. That is, a place of sadness. And now, the time is gone. We'll just have to stop. Let us pray. Our Father, we are so glad that thou dost not give up on us. How long-suffering you are, how patient. And we are thankful that we marvel at a late date in our lives, at the things we find it possible for us to do. We confess that we could have done these things 30 years earlier, but we did not do them. We had all sorts of excuses. But our Father, when we determine by the grace of God to do them, they get done. We are thankful, our Father, not only for thy saving grace, but thy strengthening grace as well. And so let us, as Jacob, pass from one crisis to another, but finally come to that place in our lives when we say, I'm not going to be a sinful man anymore, and those around me are not going to be sinful anymore. Those over whom I authority, have authority, are going to do the will of God. And so we pray that thou shalt give us strength, and thou shalt give us wisdom, and thou shalt give us a success, as thou didst give to Jacob. Bless these teachings to our hearts, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.